Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My name is Daniel. My wife Priya and I moved into our first home together in the fall. We're both Indian, first-generation Americans. And we'd spend most of our lives being told if you worked hard enough, you could build something real in this country. We believed that. We still want to believe that. It was a quiet street in rural Tennessee. Mature oak trees, clean sidewalks, houses spaced just far enough apart that you felt like you had privacy. We'd been saving for 4 years to afford even something this modest, and when we finally got the keys, Priya cried in the driveway. I remember thinking this was the beginning of everything. The neighbor to our right was a retired school teacher named Beverly, who brought banana bread the day we arrived. The couple across the street waved from their porch. For the first few days, it felt like a place where people looked out for each other. The man next door to our left was named Raymond.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We found that out later. The first thing I noticed about Raymond's house was the garden, immaculate in a way that felt obsessive. Every edge trimmed perfectly, every plant equidistant from the next. The kind of garden that tells you the person tending it has a lot of time and a very particular mind. The house itself was clean, freshly painted shutters, not a thing out of place. It should have looked welcoming. Somehow it didn't. We didn't see Raymond for the first 5 days. His truck was there every morning, still there every night. No movement through the windows, no sound from the yard. Priya mentioned it first, casually, the way you bring something up that's been sitting in the back of your mind. Do you think he's okay in there? I told her some people were just private. The first time I saw him was a Sunday afternoon. I was mowing the lawn, and I felt something shift in my peripheral vision. I looked toward his house, and there he was, standing just inside his front doorway, not waving, just standing in the shadow of his hallway with his arms at his sides, watching me. I raised a hand. He didn't move. After a few seconds, he stepped back into the dark, and the door slowly swung shut. I told myself some people were just awkward. I mostly believed it. The thing that started bothering me was the timing. Every morning, Raymond was at his kitchen window when I backed out the driveway, not doing dishes, just standing with both his hands on the counter, watching the street. When I made eye contact, he held a second too long before turning away slowly, like he was deciding to. Priya told me she felt watched on her morning runs. A few times she'd glanced back from a block away and seen someone standing at the end of our driveway. By the time she got home, no one was there. I asked Beverly about him. She went quiet in a practiced way. She said he'd lived there for a long time. That his wife had left years ago. Before going back inside, she said, "Just be careful about being too friendly. He takes things the wrong way." I replayed that sentence for days. A few weeks in, Priya found our backyard gate open 2 mornings in a row. We started using the secondary bolt. The third morning, that was open too. I confronted Raymond the next evening, kept it neighborly, told him about the gate, asked if he'd seen anything. He smiled the whole time I spoke, a smile that never quite landed right on his face. Said kids cut through the yard sometimes. Then he paused and looked me over. "Where are you two from, anyway?" "We grew up here," I said. "We're American." He smiled wider at that. like I'd said something naive. No, I mean originally. Where are your people from? I told him India, because it was easier than explaining a lifetime of that question. He nodded slowly. Long way from home, he said. Then he turned and went inside before I could respond. I stood on his porch for a moment, not sure what had just happened. I went home and didn't tell Priya about that last part. I wasn't ready to say it out loud yet. 2 nights later, I found one of our patio chairs moved from the back corner of the yard to directly beneath our bedroom window. The dew on the grass was undisturbed, except for a faint trail leading from Raymond's fence line. I took a photo. My hands were steady, but something in my chest was not. When I showed Priya, she didn't speak for a long moment. Then she said, "Daniel, I want cameras." We ordered them that morning. The dinner was Priya's idea. She thought extending an olive branch might settle things. I didn't agree, but didn't fight it. We invited Raymond over on a quiet weeknight. For the first 30 minutes, it was almost normal. He complimented the house, asked about our jobs. Seemed pleasant enough that I felt like I'd imagined everything. Then he looked around the room, at the framed photos, the small figurine of Ganesha on the bookshelf, the kurta Priya was wearing, and something shifted on his face. "You're really settling in," he said. It wasn't a compliment. "It's our home," Priya said. "This street's been the same for 30 years. Same families, same way of doing things." He picked up his glass. "Change is hard for people around here. You'd understand that better if you were actually from here." "We are from here," I said. He shook his head slowly, patiently, like he was explaining something to a child. "No, you really aren't. There's an order to things. A way a neighborhood feels when it belongs to the people who built it." He looked directly at me. "Some places just aren't meant for everyone. There's nothing stopping you from finding somewhere more suited for your kind." Priya set her fork down very carefully. The small, deliberate gesture told me everything about how hard she was working to hold herself together. "I think it's time for you to leave," she said. Raymond nodded like he expected that, stood without hurrying, and walked to the door. He paused with his hand on the frame. "I've lived on this street a long time," he said quietly. "Longer than most people remember. And every single person who didn't belong here eventually figured that out." He smiled one last time. "Have a good night." The door clicked shut behind them. We didn't sleep much that night. We lay in the dark talking in low voices about whether to leave, whether staying meant something, whether leaving just meant surviving. We went in circles until we stopped talking and just listened to the house settle around us. We were gone within 2 months. I still think about Raymond. Not every day, but often enough.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
"I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse."
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
"Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me."
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I still think about how careful he always was. How he never gave us anything concrete. Nothing we could take to anyone and have it mean what it actually meant. I don't know what the chair under the window was for. I don't know how many nights we slept through things we were better off not knowing about. I don't know what Raymond would have done if we'd stayed. I only know that some people have decided, long before you arrive, that you don't belong. And they will wait, quietly and patiently, for as long as it takes to make you feel it. I've gone back and forth about whether to share this. It's been about 2 years now, and I still think about it more than I should. My therapist says writing about it might help. I don't know if I believe her, but here I am. My name is Marcus. In the spring of 2022, my girlfriend Diane and I moved into a rental on Pembroke Lane. a little residential street on the outskirts of a mid-sized city. The kind of neighborhood where people mow their lawns on Saturday mornings and wave from their driveways. The house was a modest two-bedroom, with the sunroom Diane immediately claimed as her art studio. I remember her spinning around in it the day we toured the place, arms stretched wide, laughing. I hold on to that image now because of everything that came after. The neighbors directly across the street were named Tom and Sylvia Harding. Tom introduced himself the second day we were there, jogging across the street while I was unloading boxes. Big warm smile, firm handshake, mid-40s, broad-shouldered, the kind of guy who looked like he coached Little League on the weekends. Sylvia came over that evening with homemade jam and a welcome card written in careful, looping handwriting. She was soft-spoken and pretty, with dark circles under her eyes, I assume were just tiredness. They seemed like genuinely good people, the type of neighbors you felt lucky to have. For about a month, everything was fine. Then things started feeling slightly off. The kind of off you don't immediately name. Sylvia stopped coming outside. I'd see Tom leaving for work, coming home, chatting easily with other neighbors. But Sylvia, who had been gardening in the front yard when we first arrived, who'd seemed just as warm as him, simply disappeared from view. Her car sat untouched in the driveway for days at a stretch. I mentioned it to Diane, and she said that maybe the woman worked from home and was introverted. That made sense. I let it go. Then one night around 2 a.m., I went downstairs for water and looked out the kitchen window toward their house. Every light was off, but Tom's silhouette was visible in the upstairs window, completely still, just standing there looking out. I watched for almost a minute before I made myself walk away. About 6 weeks in, I ran into Tom at the end of our driveways and asked how Sylvia was doing. His answer came instantly, too smoothly. Oh, she's been dealing with some health stuff. Keeps her pretty low energy. He smiled the whole time. Not the warm smile from the first day. Something flatter behind the eyes. He changed the subject immediately, and I let him, because what else do you do? I almost left it alone after that. What stopped me was a Sunday afternoon when I was reading near the front window and saw the upstairs curtain at their house shift, just barely. And in the gap, a hand pressed flat against the glass. A woman's hand. It stayed for a few seconds, then was gone. That was all. But it sat in my chest like a stone for the rest of the day. After that, I started paying closer attention and hated myself for it. I noticed Tom was handling all the groceries alone. I noticed Sylvia's name had been replaced on the mailbox with just T. Harding in fresh marker. One evening walking past, I heard what sounded like crying from somewhere inside. Brief, then nothing. I drafted a call to the non-emergency line in my head a dozen times. I think something might be wrong with my neighbor. A hand against the window. A mailbox label. It just sounded absurd. Diane thought I was spiraling. Then Tom knocked on our door one evening with a bottle of wine, just being neighborly. He was perfectly pleasant, asked about Diane's art, made easy small talk. But at some point he looked at me and said, almost amused, "You know, I've noticed you watching the house sometimes." I stammered something about sitting near the window out of habit. He laughed and said he understood. Then he left. I stood in my kitchen and couldn't move for a full minute. That night I called. I told the dispatcher everything. The hand, the crying, the mailbox, the months without seeing Sylvia. Tom's comment. An officer came the following afternoon for a welfare check. Tom answered on the first knock. Calm, cooperative, easy. Smile already in place.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
The officer went inside. I watched from the window, barely breathing. 10 minutes passed. Then I saw the second patrol car turn onto Pembroke Lane. Then a third. Then I saw an ambulance moving with that quiet urgency that feels worse than sirens. I was outside before I decided to move. Tom was in handcuffs by the time I reached my driveway, still composed. No struggling. that same flat expression, like a man accepting the minor consequences of a minor miscalculation. He never looked across the street at me. Not once. I found out what happened in pieces. The responding officer, during his walkthrough of the upstairs hallway, noticed a deadbolt on the outside of a bedroom door, the kind of lock with no logical purpose, except to keep someone in. He called it in before he even opened the door. Sylvia Harding was on the floor of that bedroom, chained by the ankle to a radiator pipe, severely dehydrated, disorientated, with injuries consistent with months of prolonged abuse. The curtain near the window was displaced at the edge, just enough of a gap for a hand to reach the glass. She'd been up there the entire time, while I read on my couch, while Diane painted in her sunroom, while Tom jogged across driveways with his warm smile and his welcome jar of jam. Tom had been sending messages from Sylvia's phone himself, to her family, her friends, the officer from the first welfare check, carefully composed, naturally spaced, warm enough that nobody pushed back, a performance maintained for months without a single visible crack. Sylvia survived, I want to say that clearly. She was hospitalized for a long time and I never saw her again after that day, which I think was the right outcome. Tom was charged. I followed the case until I had to stop for my own sake. Diane and I moved out shortly after. The lease made it necessary, and neither of us could have stayed regardless. Some places hold the shape of what happened in them. I think about the version of this where I listened to Diane, where Tom's whine and his easy manner were just convincing enough, where I never made the second call. That version of this story has an ending I can't look at directly. My name is Mara, and I'm going to tell you about the 6 weeks I spent in an apartment on the third floor of a building in Chicago that I will never go back to, even if someone paid me. I was 26, and had just taken a new job downtown. I found the place fast because I needed somewhere close to the office, and the rent was reasonable. The building was old, but kept up well enough. 6 units, 3 floors, one on each side of the hall per floor. I had 3B. A woman lived across the hall in 3A. I knew she existed because I could hear her sometimes through my door, heels on hardwood, the occasional murmur of the television. I never once saw her face. I only know she was a woman because the landlord mentioned it when I moved in. The first 2 weeks were completely normal. I was exhausted from starting a new job, learning new systems, commuting. I came home, made food, watched something on my laptop, and slept. Older buildings have sounds. Pipes knock, floors settle, radiators hiss. None of that scared me. I was the kind of person who needed logical explanations for things, and usually I could find one. The first thing I noticed was the light. My apartment door had one of those old-fashioned gaps at the bottom, maybe half an inch between the door and the floor. At night, the hallway light shone through in a thin yellow strip. I noticed it in the first night, and then thought nothing of it. It was the kind of detail you clock in once, and then stop seeing entirely. Until one night around week 3, I woke up at 2 a.m. for no reason. I lay there in the dark looking toward my door out of habit. The light strip was there, same as always, and then it wasn't. 2 dark patches broke the line of light, the unmistakable shape of 2 feet standing just outside. I watched them for what felt like 5 full minutes. They did not shift, did not step away. Still, I got up and crossed the room. I put my eye to the peephole. The hallway was empty. I felt both relieved and more unsettled somehow, because if no one was out there, what had I been looking at? It happened again 2 nights later. Same time, same stillness. I looked through the peephole fast enough that if someone had been there, they wouldn't have had time to move. The hallway was empty again. I started sleeping with a pillow over my head. Then came the smell, faint, slightly sweet, like something left out too long. It appeared one evening when I got home and got stronger over the following nights. My landlord sent maintenance. They found nothing. They said maybe a mouse in the walls. I accepted that because I needed something to accept. The scratching started after that, slow and deliberate. From the wall beside my bed, three scratches, a pause, then three more. Always three. I don't know if that means anything. I've never been able to decide. Week 5 was when the quality of the fear changed. I came home one Wednesday and noticed a mark on my front door that had not been there before. Low down, near the bottom, a thin horizontal scratch in the paint, the kind of mark you'd make dragging something metal slowly across the surface. I told myself it was old, that I simply never noticed it. I was not convinced. That same night, I woke again at 2. The light strip was unbroken, and I started to relax. Then one shadow appeared. Not 2, just 1 foot. Toe pointed inward, as if someone was leaning their weight softly against my door. I lay completely frozen, thinking about how thin that door was. How the lock was one of those old single bolt locks that the building had never upgraded. The shadow eventually disappeared. I turned every light on and did not sleep again. I spent the rest of that week sleeping in short bursts with all of the lights on. By the end of it, the exhaustion had gotten bad enough that one night I simply crashed, deeply, completely. The kind of sleep that swallows you whole. I don't know what time it was when I surfaced. The room was still dark. I came up slowly, groggy and disoriented. That thick confusion where you're conscious but your mind hasn't caught up yet. I lay there staring at the ceiling. Then my hand moved against something on the mattress beside me. I looked down without fully understanding what I was seeing. My brain kept trying to make it into something normal. An extension cord, a drawstring, a belt. But I reached out and touched it, and my fingers knew before my mind did. Thick, coarse, heavy in the way that soft things are not. A rope, coiled loosely on the mattress right beside where I had been sleeping. Close enough that my arm had been resting against it. I sat up so fast the room tilted. I scrambled back against the headboard and stared at it. I hadn't put it there. I didn't own rope. I had never owned rope. I sat there trying to find any explanation for how it had gotten there onto my mattress while I was sleeping. There was none. The rope was just there. That's when I raised my head toward the door. The hallway light was on. That thin strip of yellow at the bottom. But the door itself was open. Not wide. Maybe 4 or 5 inches. The way you'd hold a door if you're trying not to make a sound. And in the gap, at eye level, there was a face. A man. Turned sideways, one eye visible in the crack. The way someone looks when they're checking whether something's safe to do next. He wasn't looking at me. He was looking past me. Scanning the room slowly. Like he was making sure I was still asleep. I screamed. I didn't decide to. It came out of me instantly. The door snapped shut. I heard footsteps. Fast and hard down the hallway. And then the stairwell door crashing open and shut behind him. I called 911 and did not move from the center of my bed until I heard the officers knock. The police found no one. They checked the building, the stairwells, the streets. Nothing. They photographed the rope and took it, which somehow made everything worse, because once it was gone, the room looked completely normal, like none of it had happened. They asked if anyone else had the key to my unit. I said only the landlord, as far as I knew. Those last 4 words sat in my stomach like a stone. I left that night and never slept there again. The police never identified anyone. The rope was common hardware store cordage, untraceable, sold in dozens of places across the city. I've tried to work through it logically. Maybe the door had been improperly latched and drifted open. Maybe the rope was something maintenance left and somehow never noticed. Maybe the man was a neighbor who panicked when I screamed. None of it holds together under any real pressure.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What I keep coming back to is the angle of his face and that gap. He wasn't looking at me. He was surveying. The way you look at a room when you're deciding whether it's the right moment to step inside. That look had intention in it. Clear, quiet, deliberate intention. I just don't know what he intended. And I'm aware every single day that the only reason I don't know is because I woke up when I did.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.